The Wheel of Time by Robert Jordan. Book 1. The Eye of the World. Prologue. The location, Dragonmount. The palace still shook occasionally as the earth rumbled in memory, groaned as if it would deny what had happened. Bars of sunlight cast through rents in the walls made motes of dust glitter where they yet hung in the air. Scorch marks marred the walls, the floors, the ceilings. Broad black smears crossed the blistered paint and gilt of once bright murals. Soot overlaying crumbling friezes of men and animals, which seemed to have attempted to walk before the madness grew quiet. The dead lay everywhere. Men and women and children, struck down in attempted flight by the lightnings that had flashed down every corridor, or seized by the fires that had stalked them, or sunken into the stone of the palace, the stones that had flowed and sought and almost alive before stillness came again. In odd counterpoint, colorful tapestries and paintings, masterworks all, hung undisturbed, except where bulging walls had pushed them awry. Finely carved furnishings, inlaid with ivory and gold, stood untouched, except where rippling floors had toppled them. The mind twisting had struck at the core, ignoring peripheral things. Luz Theron Talaman wandered the palace, deftly keeping his balance when the earth heaved. The edge of his pale gray cloak trailed through blood as he stepped across the body of a woman, her golden-haired beauty marred by the horror of her last moments, her still open eyes frozen in disbelief. His eyes caught his own reflection in a mirror hanging askew from the bubbled marble. His clothes had been regal once, in gray and scarlet and gold. Now the finely woven cloth, brought by merchants from across the world sea, was torn and dirty, thick with the same dust that covered his hair and skin. For a moment he fingered the symbol on his cloak, a circle half white and half black, the colors separated by a sinuous line. It meant something, that symbol. But the embroidered circle could not hold his attention long. He gazed at his own image with as much wonder. A tall man, just into his middle years, handsome once, but now with hair already more white than brown, and a face lined by strain and worry. Dark eyes that had seen too much. Luz Theron began to chuckle, then threw his head back. His laughter echoed down the lifeless halls. Behind him, the air rippled, shimmered, and solidified into a man who looked around, his mouth twisting briefly with distaste. Not so tall as Luz Theron. He was clothed all in black, save for the snow-white lace at his throat and the silver work on the turned-down tops of his thigh-high boots. He stepped carefully, handling his cloak fastidiously to avoid brushing the dead. The floor trembled with aftershocks, but his attention was fixed on the man staring into the mirror and laughing.
Lord of the Morning, I have come for you.
The laughter cut off as if it had never been, and Luz Theron turned, seeming unsurprised. The black-clad man's eyes widened, darted to the body of the golden-haired woman, then back to Luz Theron.
Shaitan take you. Does the taint already have you so far in its grip?
Lou Theron shuddered and raised a hand as though to ward off something.
So you remember that much, at least. Dangerous for you, fool, not for me. What else do you remember? Remember, you light-blinded idiot. I will not let it end with you swaddled in unawareness. Remember.
For a moment, Lou Theron stared at his raised hand, fascinated by the patterns of grime. Then he wiped his hand on his even dirtier coat and turned his attention back to the other man. The black-clad man drew himself up arrogantly.
Once I was called Elan Moore and Tedrani, but now...
It was a whisper from Lou Theron. Memory stirred, but he turned his head, shying away from it. Lou Theron frowned down the ruined hall. The floor shook. The golden-haired woman's body shifted as if in answer to his call. His eyes did not see her. Elan Morin grimaced. Tossing back his black cloak, Elan Morin flexed his hands. His smile was cruel. He extended his hands and the light dimmed as if a shadow had been laid across the sun. Pain blazed in Lou Theron. And he screamed, a scream that came from his depths, a scream he could not stop. Fire seared his marrow. Acid rushed along his veins. He toppled backwards, crashing to the marble floor. His head struck the stone and rebounded. His heart pounded, trying to beat its way out of his chest. And every pulse gushed new flame through him. Helplessly, he convulsed, thrashing, his skull a sphere of purest agony on the point of bursting. His hoarse screams reverberated through the palace. Slowly, ever so slowly, the pain receded. Another 1,000 years seemed to pass before he could manage to heave himself over. Muscles like jellyfish. And shakily pushed himself up on his hands and knees. His eyes fell on the golden-haired woman, and the scream that was ripped out of him dwarfed every sound he had ever made before. Tottering, almost falling, he scrabbled brokenly across the floor to her. It took every bit of his strength to pull her up into his arms. His hand shook as he smoothed her hair back from her staring face. His body curved around hers protectively. His sobs, full-throated cries of a man who had nothing left to live for. Lou Theron raised his head, and the black-clad man took an involuntary step back from that gaze. With a raised fist, it was Lou Theron's turn to pull back. Breath catching at the glow in the betrayer's eyes. Carefully, Luz Theron laid Elena down, fingers gently brushing her hair. Tears blurred his vision as he stood, but his voice was iced iron. Sudden sweat made tracks down Luz Theron's face through the dust and the dirt. He remembered. A cloudy memory like a dream of a dream. But he knew it true. His howl beat at the walls. The howl of a man who had discovered his soul damned by his own hand. And he clawed at his face as if to tear away the sight of what he had done. Everywhere he looked, his eyes found the dead. Torn they were, or broken, or burned, or half consumed by stone. Everywhere lay lifeless faces he knew, faces he loved. Old servants and friends of his childhood, faithful companions through the long years of battle. And his children, his own sons and daughters, sprawled like broken dolls, play stilled forever, and all slain by his hand. His children's faces accused him, blank eyes asking, why? And his tears were no answer. The betrayer's laughter flogged him, drowned out his howls. He could not bear the faces, the pain. He could not bear to remain any longer. Desperately, he reached out to the true source, to tainted Sidon. And he traveled. The land around him was flat and empty. A river flowed nearby, straight and broad. But he could sense there were no people within 100 leagues. He was alone. Alone as a man could be while still alive. Yet, he could not escape memory. The eyes pursued him through the endless caverns of his mind. He could not hide from them. His children's eyes, Elena's eyes. Tears glistened on his cheeks as he turned his face to the sky. He did not believe it could come, forgiveness, not for what he had done. But he shouted to the sky anyway, begged for what he could not believe he could receive. He did not believe it could come, forgiveness, not for what he had done. But he shouted to the sky anyway, begged for what he could not believe he could receive. He was still touching Sidon, the male half of the power that drove the universe, that turned the wheel of time. And he could feel the oily taint fouling its surface, the taint of the shadow's counterstroke, the taint that doomed the world. Because of him. Because in his pride, he had believed that men could match the Creator, could mend what the Creator had made and they had broken. In his pride, he had believed. He drew on the true source deeply, and still more deeply, like a man dying of thirst. Quickly, he had drawn more of the one power that he could channel unaided. His skin felt as if it were aflame. Straining, he forced himself to draw more, tried to draw it all. The air turned to fire, the fire to light liquefied. The bolt that struck from the heavens would have seared and blinded any eye that glimpsed it, even for an instant. From the heavens it came, blazed through Luz Theron Telamon, bored into the bowels of the earth. Stone turned to vapor at its touch. The earth thrashed and quivered like a living thing in agony. Only a heartbeat did the shining bar exist, connecting ground and sky. But even after it vanished, the earth yet heaved like the sea in a storm. Molten rock fountain 500 feet into the air, and the groaning ground rose, thrusting the burning spray ever upward, ever higher. From north and south, from east and west, the wind howled in snapping trees like twigs, shrieking and blowing as if to aid the growing mountain, ever skyward, ever skyward. At last, the wind died. The earth still to trembling mutters. Of Luz Theron Telamon, no sign remained. Where he had stood, a mountain now rose miles into the sky, molten lava still gushing from its broken peak. The broad, straight river had been pushed into a curve away from the mountain, and there it split to form a long island in its midst. The shadow of the mountain almost reached the island. It lay dark across the land like the ominous hand of prophecy. For a time, the dull, protesting rumbles of the earth were the only sound. On the island, the air shimmered and coalesced. The black-clad man stood staring at the fiery mound rising out of the plain, his face twisted in rage and contempt. Then he was gone, and the mountain and the island stood alone.